Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, let's listen to a beautiful Madni pearl from a great scholar, Sheikh Mujaddid Firozabadi Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that when you sit in a gathering, recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Allah Azza wa Jal will designate an angel that will keep you from backbiting. And when you depart from that mahfil, that congregation, again recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And that angel will then keep others from backbiting against you. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us the gift of Iman and has warned us of the grave consequences of backbiting, and how extremely dangerous this act is. But unfortunately, because we don't pay heed to the teachings of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the problem has grown to such an extent that our homes have become like war zones. Families and communities are falling apart. And this evil and this satanic, shaitani act is destroying our well-being. And even those who claim to be pious and practice the beautiful deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, through this unfortunate act, have built walls of resentment around them to keep people away. Your leaders and your pious people, from whom society generally could benefit, are now being shunned and people are staying away from them because maybe they are indulging in backbiting. But quite often, others are backbiting against them or slandering them, leading to the fact that the people who are to benefit society now, individuals stay away from. And so in this way, this backbiting is having terrifying consequences on our society generally. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, once the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was in his beautiful abode when some meat was brought as a gift. It was the duty of Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to teach hadith narrations to the Ashabi Sufa. And he would teach them in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. And so they asked him, Sayyidina Zayd, beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has received some meat as a gift, and we haven't eaten meat in many, many days. So why don't you go to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and ask for some meat? He radiallahu ta'ala leaves, and as he leaves, they start talking amongst themselves. And somebody says that Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu meets the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like we all do,
So why does he have special privileges? And why does he have the authority to teach us and narrate the Hadith Mubarakah?
When Hazrat Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached the beloved court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahabi Sufa desire to eat meat. And meat has been presented in your court. The knower of the unseen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, go and tell them that they have just eaten some meat. Hazrat Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala arrives back and relays the message and says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that you have had some meat. They swear that we haven't had any meat. No meat was given to us. We haven't had meat for several days. Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala who goes back to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requests again for some meat. And again, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says the same thing. They just ate some meat. So Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes back and relays the same message again. And again, the Ashabi Sufa are surprised and go to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they themselves ask, upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you just ate your brother's flesh and traces of meat are still in your teeth. Spit and have a look at the redness of the flesh. Allahu Akbar. Thereupon, the Sahabi Sufa spat and saw that there was blood in their saliva. They all repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they repented over the words they'd said, and they asked Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu for forgiveness, for backbiting him and questioning why he was the one who had authority to narrate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, there are grave lessons to be learnt from this beautiful and amazing hadith of Mubarakah. Apart from the amazing shan of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge of the unseen and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's vision to know what was in the hearts of the people, the lesson for us is that these were the companions of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sentence that was said was not one would consider that bad. But why has he been given that authority to narrate Hadith Mubarakah? Compared to what we utter these days and the filth we come out with, and yet the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asks them to spit and they find blood in their saliva. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we seriously need to consider what we use this tongue for. Because let's listen carefully to this hadith Mubarakah. Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us that on the night of Laylatul Mi'raj, the night journey, the great ascension, I came across such men and women who were hanging by their chests. I asked, O Jibreel, who are they? And he replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones who slander people with false accusations and allegations in their presence and speak ill against them behind their backs. Regarding these people, the Quran states, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Humazah, verse 1. Woe to every slanderer and backbiter. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith Mubarakah, again the night journey of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across such a nation who were scratching their faces and their chests with nails, with their own nails, but their nails were made of copper.
Can you imagine the pain? Taqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I asked Jibreel, who are these people? And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to eat the flesh of humans, i.e. backbite, and they would tarnish their reputation. Allahu Akbar. And then again, the renowned commentator of the Quran, commenting on this hadith, says that they were inflicted with this to a severe extent. Why? Because they were given a torment of itching. So they wanted to scratch their bodies, but they were given nails of copper. And those copper nails, when they scratched with them, would tear their faces and their chests. Allahu Akbar. What a severe punishment. A punishment which is not only humiliating and degrading, but severe. And it is for those people, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, who disparage and backbite against others, who have this habit that they have to fill the spare time with any silence with backbiting. Today, the Madni mahal of Dawat-e-Islami, the Madni environment of Dawat-e-Islami, and Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatum al-Aliyah ask us to reflect, to sit alone and think what we're doing. Sit in solitude, spend time with yourself and think, why am I engaging in this awful and heinous sin which Allah and His beloved Habib hate, which gives me no benefit in the world apart from some satisfaction of the nafs, and yet it is tearing my life apart, it is going to lead to torment in the grave, humiliation on the day of judgment, and these types of severe punishments in the fire of hell. In this world, we cannot even bear a minor scratch. If you have an itch for a few moments and you use your nails, the skin becomes red. How are we going to endure this punishment of itching and scratching our faces and our chests with nails made of copper? How are we going to bear this torment? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the night in which I was made to transverse the heavens, I came across a nation that was being fed flesh severed from their own sides, their own bodies. They were told, eat as you used to eat the flesh of your brothers. I asked, O Jibreel, who are they? And Jibreel replied, O Master, they used to backbite against the people. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, this habit of backbiting appears to give us some pleasure in the nafs. But in reality, it is slowly killing us. Although the scholars have described it as sweeter than dates and more exhilarating than alcohol and very attractive, it is a poison. It is a cancer that is not only killing us, but killing those around us. The compassionate, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has stated, whoever eats the flesh of his dead brother, i.e. backbites him in this world, that brother will be brought close to him on the day of judgment, and he will be ordered to eat his carcass, just as he used to eat him when he was alive. And then this backbiter will start to eat the flesh of his dead brother. He has no choice on that day. He will start to eat this carcass. And he will moan and he will cry and he will express disgust and his facial expressions will change. But then it's too late to repent. He is already in the throes of punishment. Now this isn't some story that I narrate. This is a hadith mubarakah from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the one who has given us the knowledge of the unseen, has told us what will happen on the day of judgment, has warned us against these grave sins and the punishments that are to come, so that we could avoid them, so that we could stay away from them. But our condition is such that some of us may pray, we may fast, but unfortunately, we lose the blessings of these prayers and these fasts. Two people came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and performed their salah asr or zuhr. And the noble prophet, the knower of the unseen, called them both and said, go and do wuzu and repeat your salah and complete your fast and make up a qadha for today by fasting tomorrow. They asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why have we been ordered to do this? Naka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, you have backbitten such and such a person. Allahu Akbar. Now the scholars write that, and Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi writes in Bihari Shariat, volume 1, page 984, that backbiting and or certain other slandering, etc., is a heinous crime. But it doesn't actually invalidate the fast, and that this hadith in Mubarakah has other explanations as well. But the lesson for us is this, that such a serious crime that the best of creation is ordering the amazing companions to repeat their salah and repeat their fasting. Why? Because it takes away the blessings and the barakah. And in another hadith in Mubarakah, the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast is an armor until it is broken. And the companions ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can break this armor, this shield that we have from fasting? And the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, lying and backbiting. And then in another hadith of Mubarak in Mustadrak, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting is not just abstaining from food and drink. Fasting is also abstaining from profane and irrelevant conversation. Ghaltbat, the wrong conversation. Today, anything that comes into our mind makes its way to our tongue without our brain being engaged. We don't even think about what we're saying. The shaitan is giving us ideas, and suddenly those ideas or those thoughts or bad thoughts about somebody else are making their way to our tongue without us even thinking about it. And we're blurting it out. And we don't understand or care that we are backbiting. And yet, this is such a sinful, vulgar and haram act that hurts others and destroys everything around us. It is so bad that it is foul. And yet, we don't care. Allahu Akbar. The backbiter is in such a state in the fire of hell that he's running between the scorching water and the fire. He is destroying himself. And even the dwellers of the hellfire are saying, it takes some wretchedness, doesn't it? That even those in the hellfire are saying, who is this wretched soul? He is intensifying our suffering. By seeing him suffering so much, it is making our suffering worse. And they are then told that this wretched person is the one who was a flesh eater, i.e. a backbiter, and a tailbearer. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel,
We seriously need to think about what comes out of our mouth. We seriously need to think about what we're saying. When somebody is in the court of the best of creation, they stand up and walk out. And as soon as they depart, a person starts to backbite against him. Upon which, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, pick your teeth. The person says, why should I pick my teeth? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I haven't eaten meat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes you have. Indeed you have eaten the flesh of your brother. Allahu Akbar. Today, in our gatherings, ask yourself, are we eating the flesh of our brothers? Are we backbiting? Are we slipping down this dangerous slope? Are we learning from these hadith mubarakah? Or are they flying over the top of my head? And I'm going to carry on with my expressions that I say. So as soon as somebody's gone, thank God he's gone. Oh, what a bore. Oh, he just argues for the sake of arguing. Oh, it's just, you have to listen to him. If you don't listen to him, he'll do X, Y, and Z. Oh, he thinks he knows it all. He thinks he's the cleverest person in the world. He thinks that he is the life of the congregation, of the mahfil. He's so full of himself and he's so stubborn. Oh, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect me from some such individuals. He's a big mouth. He announces everything. He blurts things out. Look, whatever he's just heard. Now watch, he's going to spread it all over the town. You know all those examples I've just given? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the Ulama Ikram write that these are all examples of backbiting. Now let's think. I'm sure many of us have sat there just then, thought that is something I have said. If it is, repent. Repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the scholars write, and Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatum al-Aliyah in his book, Ribut Kitab Akariyah, backbiting, has written, these are examples of backbiting. And yet we don't even know it. Today, we need to think what we're doing. Gosh, get from this habit of backbiting, Allah Azza wa Jal protected us. Allah Azza wa Jalla protected us from these wicked gatherings, which encouraged backbiting. These tale-bearing accusational mehfils that we seem to enjoy. But in our heart, we know they are bad. We know when it comes to the gatherings of piety, when it comes to the gatherings of righteousness, when it comes to the gatherings of the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, after 20 minutes, half an hour, we want to get out. When it's in these gatherings of backbiting and slandering, because the nafs is enjoying itself. Hours go by before we know it. And we've probably talked about 20 people in our house and 50 people in the town, and we still haven't had enough. We want to carry on. And we're burning our deeds away. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers, viewers of Madni Channel. Unfortunately, our Islamic sisters are sometimes in a worse position than the Islamic brothers. They have much more time on their hands and they are more inclined towards talking about other sisters. And they tend to backbite on a more regular basis. Because they have perhaps sometimes more time on their hands. We could avoid this grave sin so that we could benefit from this knowledge. And today, knowing this, if we still indulge in this desire to slander or backbite others, then we need to think carefully about the consequences. Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatum al-Aliyah recites some examples of the type of talk that sisters often engage in. Oh, she has a big tongue. Oh, she never leaves her husband in peace. She's disrespectful to her husband. She has no decency. She has no morals. Oh, he wants to get rid of her, but he can't divorce her. Oh, look, she treats her daughter-in-law like a maid.
Oh, she's so irritable. Oh, she's so annoying. Oh, she's so snobbish. She thinks something special of herself. She yells at her children. She gets angry. She's got no manners. Look, she's got daughters, but she can't be bothered marrying them off. And the list goes on and on and on. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, today we need to wake up. We need to wake up from this very, very serious situation that we're in. And one of the methods that we can protect ourselves is by being with those who recognize that this sin of backbiting is dangerous, who recognize the signs of it, and who can warn us of it. There are certain, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Islamic brothers in the Madni Mahal of Dawat Islami, whom Amir al-Sunnah Damod Barakatum al-Ali has given a Madni mindset to, who as soon as somebody in a gathering starts to travel down the road of talking about somebody, they immediately stop him. They change the subject. They say, forget that. Don't talk about others. Let's talk about something else. There's one Islamic brother that we were sat with, and he said something really beautiful. Some brothers were engaging in conversation, and suddenly it became focused on a particular person. And the brothers were just about to engage in backbiting. And you could see that the situation was there, and often you can tell. You know the situation. You know what's coming next. And this brother, he saw the situation. And he saw that these brothers are about to engage in this act. Do you know what he said? I still remember it to this day. It was beautiful. He said, Choro Madina ki baat karo. Allahu Akbar. He said, forget that. Let's talk about Medina. And he changed the subject to Medina Sharif. What a beautiful way. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, alhamdulillah, in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, if you keep watching Madani Channel, if you keep watching the Madani Muzakras on Saturdays, if you keep attending the Sunnah-inspired Ijtamaz of Dawat Islami, and you keep attending the Madani Kaflas of Dawat Islami, you will develop a Madani mindset to stay away from ghibat, to stay away from backbiting. Because alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, the mindset is given that this is a grave, horrible and horrific sin that we need to protect ourselves from. And brothers, in a beautiful way, try to prevent you from doing it. And gradually over time, if you stick with the right people, you are in the right environment, gradually over time, you learn the dangers and you learn where you can go, where you can't, and you stop short of indulging in this very grave sin. Subhanallah. And similarly for the Islamic sisters as well. If the Islamic sisters want to change themselves, then alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all across the world, in the UK, there are many, many, hundreds of sisters ijtamas, where the sisters can develop the Madani mindset to protect themselves from backbiting. They can engage in learning the Quran and the beautiful hadith mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They can become muballighat and teach the beautiful deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they can earn the great rewards of inviting towards good and from forbidding evil, rather than use this tongue in ways which are going to cause us trouble. This tongue can be used in beautiful ways. My dear Islamic brothers, viewers of Madni Channel, backbiting is a very dangerous thing. Backbiting can break us away from our family. What if we changed our environment? What if, instead of backbiting, we engaged our tongue in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? We spent our time reciting Naat upon His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine the rewards we would reap? Can you imagine that it's the same tongue, but instead of losing our deeds and becoming closer to the fire of hell through our actions, the same tongue now engaged in the right thing and avoiding the wrong thing can get you to the gardens of paradise.
In Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, it is recited that a beautiful hadith Qudsi, that whoever recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and then Surah Fatiha, by joining them together, then you will be a witness. This is a hadith Qudsi, that you be a witness that I have forgiven him, accepted all his good deeds, and pardoned his sins, and I will not burn his tongue, and I will free him from the torment of the grave, the torment of the fire, the torment of the day of judgment, and from acute apprehension. Subhanallah. And then completing the whole of Surah Fatiha Sharif, and then make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Allah, save us from the whispers of the shaitan. Save us from this very, very dire sin of backbiting. Let us supplicate in your court with the wasila of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, our sins are so much that we've lost count. Forgive our sins and save us from backbiting. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise. Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise.